In June of 1995, men in moon suits driving official-looking trucks entered a suburb of Detroit and began tearing down a small backyard shed. They stowed the bits and pieces in drums marked dangerous, radioactive, and took them away, leaving the neighbors terrified and mystified. It was the mother's home of the radioactive Boy Scout. That's the name of a new book by Ken Silverstein about a boy who went nuclear, a 16-year-old launched on a nuclear path by his decision to earn a scouting merit badge in atomic energy. Ken Silverstein, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Now, in the prologue to your book, you talk about how the neighbors were scared to death by the people taking down the potting shed. Were they right to be frightened?
They were definitely right to be frightened. And the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, later determined that the experiments of the radioactive Boy Scout had put 40,000 people at risk. I don't want to exaggerate the risk. There was no imminent threat, but his potting shed where he was conducting these experiments was badly contaminated with radioactive materials. And in this case, they deemed it urgent and necessary that they come in, clean up the potting shed, and send it out to Utah for burial at a low-level radioactive dump site.
They vacuumed the grass. They tried to get every little bit and piece of detritus from the shed and from tearing down the shed.
Yeah, in fact, you know, if you read the reports, it's pretty funny because you'll look at some of the materials that they had to cart away were a pickle jar. I mean, we're not talking about an expensive laboratory. This was pretty makeshift.
Now, this young person, whose name was
David Hunt.
What was his goal?
Well, what he wanted to do, his ultimate goal, and to a certain extent he realized it was an impossible dream, so he was really trying to develop a model breeder reactor, a nuclear reactor.
Something that creates nuclear fuel.
In theory, that's what he hoped to build. And he was motivated by a very nice dream. At the time when David was doing these experiments, he told me that he heard his parents constantly arguing about the cost of electricity, and he wanted to build a breeder reactor that would bring down the price of electricity. You know, he wasn't a kid. He wasn't out to do harm. He didn't want to blow up the world. He wanted to make electricity cheap.
He got far enough along that he was able to make something which was already radioactive more radioactive.
Yes. Now, his notebooks were thrown out when the EPA cut up his shed. His mother and stepfather became very alarmed about the whole thing and threw out all of his notebooks. But everything he's told me seems to be borne out by the EPA reports that were produced as a result of their having to destroy his project and bury it in Utah. So he certainly seems to have generated a radioactive reaction, a more potent radioactive reaction from the elements he gathered.
The most fascinating part for me was the way this kid managed to accumulate the materials that he needed to conduct experiments with radioactivity.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. He collected radium, which is highly radioactive and extraordinarily dangerous, in fact. And how did he do it? He'd go to junkyards and he'd go to antique stores with his Geiger counter. And he'd look for antique clocks, because back in the 20s and 30s and up through the 40s and 50s, in fact, they used to paint the dials of clocks with radium so that it would glow in the dark. And then it was later determined that this was not a great idea because a lot of the radium painters, the people who actually painted the radium on, got cancer and died. But he would go out looking for these clocks, take it home to his lab and scrape the radium off, and then he devised a solution to try to refine it and to purify it. His biggest find, he was at one antique store in suburban Michigan, and his Geiger counter just went nuts. It started clicking really, really wildly, and it led him to a clock. And it wasn't the paint on the dial that had triggered the Geiger counter. Apparently, the painter who had left inside the clock, it was an old wall clock, a small vial of radium paint. And that was David's big find. I mean, he got, you know, we're not talking a quart here, we're talking a tiny little bottle, but that's a lot of radium.
Did David know about that? Did he understand that what he was doing was dangerous?
You know, partly I think he did and he didn't. I mean, because like many teenagers, he just didn't think about the consequences. He thought of himself as invulnerable. I don't think it would have deterred him anyway.
Now, did anybody get sick as a result of what this boy did? I mean, it's been years now. Has any part of the neighborhood shown up with an unusual amount of cancer or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. There was a potential danger to people in the neighborhood if the materials in the shed had seeped out. But even then, the risk probably would not have been, it probably wouldn't have been an overwhelming, imminent risk. The danger potentially would be to David himself, because he was working, you know, he was using a gas mask and he had very primitive protective devices. The state of Michigan offered to test David for him to undergo a full body scan to determine how much radioactivity he had taken in. And he agreed to do it, and at the last minute he backed out, I think because he was fearful of what he might find out. He had told me that he believes he didn't, you know, he said, "I don't believe I took more than 5 years off my life." But we really don't know. The neighborhood, though, I'm certain there was no damage to anyone living in the neighborhood.
Has he done anything scientific with his life?
No. To this point, no. He went into the Navy. Oddly enough, he was based for some time on the USS Enterprise, which is a nuclear-powered ship, and he was not allowed to go near the nuclear reactors on that ship because it was deemed, as I understand it, unwise for someone who had possibly exposed himself to as much radiation as he did with his experiments to have anything to do with nuclear energy. But he certainly still has ambitions to walk that scientific path, and I think to walk the nuclear path. And I hope the next time he does it, he'll do it in a more supervised way.
So did he get that merit badge in atomic energy?
He did, in fact, get the atomic energy merit badge. Now, after it was revealed that he had been working on a breeder reactor, in fact, it became quite controversial at the scout troop. You know, there was a belief that he had endangered people and that he had been reckless and that perhaps he should have that revoked. But in the end, it was decided that he hadn't meant to do any harm, and he was allowed to keep his Eagle Scout status and his merit badge.
Ken Silverstein is the author of The Radioactive Boy Scout, The True Story of a Boy and His Backyard Nuclear Reactor. Ken Silverstein, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.